بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد continuing studies in ثلاثة أصول on previous class we were finishing the discussion with regards to Muwarat. And there are just a couple of more important topics to study with regards to that issue before we move on. Al-Muwarat. Seeing that this is from the foundations and the usul of the deen. And it's also from the correct meaning and understanding of the Shahada and La ilaha illallah. That a person, he has love for Allah Azza wa Jal greater than his love for everything else. Likewise, the meaning of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person, he loves the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than he loves all mankind and his own soul even, and wealth and the likes. And this is an allegiance that one has with this statement and this testification of faith. And this requires that one act accordingly, and that be present in his statements and in his actions, and that be present in his compliance to the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, present in his commandment and his compliance to the commandments of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also leaving off actions of disobedience. All of this is clear testification to the authenticity and the correctness of his claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In our previous class we've seen the dangers of taking the disbelievers as companions and friends and people, giving them love and showing them nearness and preferring their way and being amazed with their way and liking what they're upon. And even if it's from the affairs of the dunya, even if it's from the affairs in the dunya. And we've seen that this is actually from the traits of the hypocrites, and Allah Azza wa Jalla has warned the believers not to do that. And that if they do that, they will be only establishing upon their own souls a proof in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَتُرِيدُونَ أَن تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ سُلْطَانًا مُبِينًا. You want to make a clear proof against you in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, and with this allegiance to the disbelievers. There are a few points to mention about this, because the reality is that we can marry them, and marry from them, we can trade with them, and we can buy with them, and we can have contracts with them, and we can have covenants with them, and we can have peace treaties with them, and so on and so forth. But the issue is in the heart. The issue is in the heart. There's no love for their deen and the way that they're upon. And when he knows that they are upon falsehood, and their religion is falsehood, and their belief is corruption and evil, and they worship something that's not worthy of worship, and one will not be deceived by that. And if they die upon that way, they are the people of the hellfire, and they will abide therein forever. وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ. They will not come out of the fire. There's no doubt about that. And one, he has to believe that their religion is falsehood, and he has no doubt about that. No matter if it's Christianity, or if it's Judaism, or if it's Buddhism, or whatever the case may be, all of their deens, all of the religions beside the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla is falsehood. And a person, he knows that, and he has no doubt about that. But as for in our religion, the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla, we are commanded to treat those who treat us kindly, kindly, even if they're in opposition. And even if they're not in our, from our religion, those people who are Christians or Jews and the likes like that, we deal with them in a good way. They deal with us in a good way, we deal with them in a good way. They give us contracts of peace and a treaty of peace, then we do the same for them, and we do not invalidate that. And we do not invalidate that. But the issue is that the dealing here, we deal with them in a good way, but that doesn't prohibit a person from disliking what they're upon and disliking their way. Disliking what they're upon and disliking their way. So there's an issue here that's very important. And it's been mentioned by Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. He said, إِنَّا لَنَكْشِرُ فِي وَجُوهِ أَقْوَامٍ وَقُلُوبُنَا تَلْعَنُهُمْ إِنَّا لَنَكْشِرُ فِي وَجُوهِ أَقْوَامٍ وَقُلُوبُنَا تَلْعَنُهُمْ. He said, verily, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he said, verily, we will smile in the face of certain people, but our hearts curse them. Our hearts curse them. We will smile in their faces and be kind to them, and we'll present to them good manners, but in our hearts are cursing them and what they're upon. And you will be kind to them, and you'll be nice to them, and you deal with them justly, because this is what is required. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla did not prohibit us from being kind and just with those people who do not kick us out of our harm us for our deen and kick us out of our homes because of our religion. So we be kind to them, and this is the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But at the same time, the heart is not pleased with what they're upon. Therefore, if that's the case, there he would not want to be near to them or have them as companions and have them as colleagues, any close, intimate friends, loving them and bringing them close. As for having a co-worker or a colleague in school like this, or a classmate, and or dealing with the people that you have business and trade with and dealing just with them, then this is what's required. And this is what's incumbent. But that doesn't stop a person from disliking what they're upon and disliking their way. And not wanting, and this dislike would prohibit that person from drawing near to them. He doesn't want to be upon what they're upon. He doesn't want to be upon their deen. He doesn't want to be upon the way that they're upon. But he's forced to deal with them. And so he deals with them according to what is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. So he deals with them in according with what is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, and he gives them their rights correct, and which is correct in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this issue here that the ulama, they talk about, it's very, very important for a believer to be aware of. It's called, there's a difference here. And this is the dividing line. There's two issues, two words that we can study and learn tonight, or review if we already know. The first word is called al-mudarat. Al-mudarat. Min dara yudari. Dari mudaratan. And the other one is the opposite of that. It's called mudahana. Al-mudahana. One of them is permissible and one of them is good. Even one of them is considered from the good and noble characters and manners of a believer. Another one is considered a filthy and a lowly conduct. Al-mudahana. Min dahana yudahinu. Dahin mudahanatan. Naam. That the first one, al-mudarat, in the English language, it means sometimes it means courtesy, or to be courteous, or sometimes it could be used to mean flattering. But we will see the legislative meaning, inshallah. But in general, they need to daddy shakhsan, that you're kind to him and courteous to him, and your dealings with them. Naam. And the other word is al-mudahana. Al-mudahana. Adai wasn't. نعم ها مداهنة مفاعلة مداهنة يداهن داهن ها مداهنة مداهنة نعم. So the difference between the two, المدارات is to give up something from the dunya in order to keep the deen safe and strong. To give up something from the dunya in order to keep the deen safe and strong, protected. And al-mudahana is the opposite. Actually, al-mudarat is even more general than that. Al-mudarat is to give up something from the dunya to keep the dunya or the deen safe. To save somebody's dunya, or to give a portion of the dunya to somebody, to give up something from honor, respect, a smile, or some wealth or position, in order to keep one's own dunya safe, or his deen safe, or both of them safe. Or both of them safe. This is called mudarat. Taib, al-mudahana, this is whenever a person, he will compromise his religion for something from the dunya. He will compromise his religion for something from the dunya. He will give up, he will fall short in a commandment. Or he will perpetrate a prohibition, leaving off something that's required from him in the deen in order to obtain a rank or status or position or honor in the worldly life. In the worldly life. This is haram, this is not permissible. And this is what the disbelievers at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. And this is what Allah mentioned about them in Surah Al-Qalam. Who knows the verse? They wish that you would compromise with them so they can compromise with you. What do? لَوْ تُدِهِنُوا فَيُدِهِنُونَ. They wish that you would compromise with them so they can compromise with you. And even it's been mentioned in narrations of the Prophet ﷺ that they came to him and they offered this type of mudahana, this compromising their religion. They said, you don't talk about our gods, we don't talk about your God. You be quiet about our gods. You don't refute us in our religion. We won't refute you in your religion. And they said to him, how about this, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you worship your God for a year and we worship with you. And then for some time after that, you worship with us. We trade, take turns, like this. That way everybody's good. Huh? It's a principle that's very, they call it today the golden principle. Who knows that one? The golden principle. You be quiet about what we don't agree about, and then we work together upon what we agree about. The golden principle. Some of those misguided and deviant sects say this is always from the beginning in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They tried that with him. It was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam how to deal with them. Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, oh you disbelievers, to you, you have your way, you have your way, and I have my way. You have your religion, you have what you worship, and I have what I worship. And you don't worship what I worship, and I don't worship what you worship. And I will never worship what you worship, and you don't ever worship what I worship. And I don't worship the way that you worship, and you don't worship the way that I worship. You have your deen, you have your way, you have your deeds, and I have mine. This is the case. There's no compromising in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. There's no compromising in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this means to give up something from the deen that's obligatory. And in the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla, there's room sometimes. One can do, there's concessions, or there's ruchas, and the likes like this, that's not considered mudahana. That's not considered mudahana. There's permissibility to leave something. This is inside the religion. This is not considered doing that. And to delay the salat for some reason, or the like this, as long as it's in the proper time, or if one is traveling, or if one is in a certain situation. The religion has rulings for these type of issues, so this wouldn't be considered compromising. Well, compromising in the religion means to leave off something that's obligatory for the dunya, or to do something that's not permissible for the dunya. For example, just to make an example, somebody, he will shake the woman's hand. He's afraid that he wants to get, for example, a bank account. And the banker is a woman. So she wants to shake his hand. He shakes his hand. He wants to have, you know, honor. He wants to, you know, he doesn't want to get rejected. That's how he feels. Like, no, you can't do that. You can't compromise that. You have to say, excuse me, I'm a Muslim. And in our religion, it's not permissible for us to shake the hands of women that are not from our family. And a lot of times you will find that people in this land, they respond and they respect that. And they respect that. Likewise, for example, somebody has a job. Somebody has a job, he's going to be at his work from Dhuhr all the way till the Adhan Asr. Or he's going to be there all the way from Dhuhr time all the way to the Adhan Asr. He has to pray Dhuhr at work. You have to pray Dhuhr at work. You can't say, well, they'll laugh at me, or they'll say this about me. If that's the case, A'udhu billah, you can't compromise that. The prayer is not permissible to leave the prayer because somebody's afraid of what they'll say to him at work. If he's not going to be home in time to pray on its time, before the time of Asr, he has to pray at work. He has to pray at work. So this is something, you can't compromise with this. We can't compromise with this. They say, if you can't open a store unless you sell alcohol. Khalas, then I can't open a store. Khalas, I can't open a store. We can't compromise with these things. If that's the case, if that's what they say, you can't have a store except you sell alcohol and pork. Khalas, then I can't have a store here. If I want to have a store, I have to go somewhere else. I have to go somewhere else. So the issue is, there's no compromising in the deen, and it's not required to compromise. I made the example yesterday that, for example, we want to be kind to our neighbors, so we invite them for dinner, for example, which is permissible. You want to be kind to your neighbor, a Christian neighbor, for example. You want to be kind to him, and you want to invite him for dinner. This is a good deed, inshallah, with the intention to be a means to show him the proper Islam and the good conduct of a Muslim, to invite him to Islam, whether directly or indirectly. Rather to call him with words, Islam is this and this, or to show him the good manners of Islam. But he wouldn't bring his daughters and his wife in there, shake my hand, shake, this is my daughter, and this is my wife, that's compromising. He wouldn't compromise their honor. You wouldn't compromise the respect of the family members and the likes like this. Or play music for him. For example, he likes music. He says, you have a radio, can you play some music? Oh yeah, sure, I'll play music for you. No, you don't play music for him. This is compromising in the deen. This is impermissible. So there's a difference between a mudarat and mudahana. What is required from us, and what Abu Darda is talking about, that we smile in the face of some people and our hearts curse them. He's making mudarat. So this is the case with the people who have authority over you. For example, even with from the people of misguidance. Sometimes the people of the Sunnah, if they don't have the strength, and some of the masajid, they're not strong. Rather, they're outnumbered. So if they come to that masjid and they show all of the people harshness, then they're not going to be allowed to come to that masjid no more. And if that's the masjid in their vicinity, for example. In some lands, there's only one or two or three masjid, and not any of them are Salafi. But then maybe one of them is better than the other one, but all of them have misguidance in them. And all of them have people according to another way in them. But a person, he has to pray in the masjid. He has to go to Jummah. He has to fulfill the rights of his deen. So if he shows enmity and hatred to all of those people that are upon innovation, then this is going to bring him harm. He's outnumbered. He's in a land. He's strange, very strange. If he shows the people of innovation at that time, he doesn't have no ability. They'll kick him out of the masjid. They'll call the police on him. This is something known. They've done it in this land. So how do you deal with these type of people? In that situation, mudarat. You give them a little bit of the dunya, like you smile in their face, in order to keep the deen. Because there's other people in the masjid that will listen to you. You can call them. Not everybody's on that way. Some of the ones who pray with you, they're laymen, and they listen to you. And you can call them, invite them to your house, and you can talk to them outside the masjid, and you can call and make da'wah to the sunnah. But if you show this harshness and rudeness, and you be firm like this in this time when you're weak, and you don't have the ability to do that, then it's going to bring harm to you. It's going to bring harm to you and to the da'wah that you have with you. And the people are not going to be able to benefit from you. So then the ulama, they mention at this time, you don't make mudahana. You don't give up your deen for to please them, but you give up something from the dunya, like a smile or salam. Assalamu alaikum, kayf haluk? Ha taif, barakallah feek. Like this, so you can pray in the masjid, and so you can speak to the people who will listen to you, and you can make the call, and then you leave. You pray and you leave. You don't have to cooperate with them and compromise your deen with them, but to smile in their face and to give them this smile or this good conduct when you meet them, and the likes like this, in order to keep your deen established, so you can continue praying Jumu'ah, so you continue praying in the Jama'ah, so you continue making da'wah to the people who will listen to you like this. This is the way to do it. And this is the way of a believer, that he'll make mudarat whenever he needs to like this, in order to save his religion. In order to save his religion. So giving up something from the deen is impermissible. To have something from the dunya, this is haram and not permissible, and that's from the weakness of a person's religion. But to give up something from the dunya, to give up something from the dunya in order to keep the deen safe and strong, or even to keep some of the dunya safe and strong, it's permissible. It's permissible. It's called mudarat. So that's what we do here with the non-Muslims. We see them, we go to their store, we buy from them. They talk to us, we talk to them. We speak to them courtesy, how are you doing like this? If they talk to us, we talk to them. Maybe it will be a means to guide them, to show this person he's really not that bad of a man. He's kind, he's nice. Every time he comes here, he's courteous to me like this. And then they ask, what are you? I'm a Muslim. Like, it'll be a means for da'wah. But in any case, you don't have to be harsh and rude if they're not harsh and rude to you. Like, even if they are in these lands, we can't do anything back, because this is going to cause a problem for you. This is going to cause a problem for you. If they're rude to you, you don't be rude back. What's going to happen? Who's going to go to jail? Who's going to call home and, sorry, my daughter, I'm not able to come home tonight. Sorry, son, I won't be home for a few years. Because somebody was a fool? Yeah, you have to have wisdom. You have to have wisdom, especially in these times, in these lands. So there's a difference between mudarat and mudahana. That's the point here. So you love Allah Azza wa Jalla more than that. But in order to keep that love firm and to keep your deen safe, sometimes maybe you have to smile on the face of somebody you don't like. Somebody, you have to shake his hand like this. Kayf halak, how you doing? Everything's good, barakallah feek. Like this. And then keep it moving. Save your deen. Save your honor, so they don't harm you. So that you're safe from their harm. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did this. And there was the time whenever Aisha radiallahu anha was in the house with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This man is coming. The Prophet sees him coming. He said, "Bi'sa akhul ashira." He said, "This man is the worst of his tribe. He's an evil man. This is an evil man, the worst of his tribe." Whenever he came through the door, the Prophet said, "Idhanu lahu." Let him in. Let him in. Whenever he came in, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he smiled to him and he talked to him. He fulfilled his needs, took care of his business for him in a kind and nicely manner, and then he left. At this time, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, "Subhanallah," she said, "Messenger of Allah, whenever he's coming, you said this about him, but whenever he came in, you smiled in his face in this manner, and you dealt with him with nice words." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Have you ever known me to be a hypocrite? But rather, the worst of the people with Allah Azza wa Jalla on the day of resurrection are those who the people left them out of fear of their indecency and their foulness. Sharrun nas indallahi yawm al-qiyamah man tarakahum an-nasu ittiqa'a fuhshihim." The Prophet ﷺ, some people, they have evil with them. Some people, they have evil with them, and they act in a decent manner with their tongue, with their actions. In order to be safe from them, sometimes you'd be nice to them. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. He dealt with him in order to be safe from his harm. How you doing? Because if you show him harshness, he's going to be rude. He's going to be harsh. He's going to speak foully. He's going to cause problems. Like this, the ulama they mentioned also, this is from the good manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe he will accept Islam. Maybe when you deal with that person like that, you need to accept Islam. Also, to mention their foulness like that is not backbiting. That's considered warning the other people of his evil. This person has got evil with him. This is one of those people that we just have to be nice to him in order so he doesn't harm us. And so he doesn't harm those around us. Because if we let him, he will bring his evil to us in one way or the other. So we protect ourselves how? By mudarat. By mudarat. How you doing? Everything's good. Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feek. Everything's okay. See you later, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. And you move. I got an appointment. I'll see you later. You bump into him. You see him like this. You know right there. This person, he's got evil with him. Some people are like that. Some people are fitna for others. He's the fitna. This type of person would be tried by these type of people. You have to deal with them accordingly. If not, it's going to be a greater fitna. If it's not, it's going to be a greater fitna. So this is how we live here like this. And he went with those people. Now, if a person, he has the authority, then it's a different. This is like whenever, you know, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that whenever you're walking down the street and you see the Christians or the Jews, the people of the book, push them to the side. You can't do that in America. You can't do that here. That's whenever they're in the Muslim land, whenever the Muslims have authority and the Muslims have the reign and the Muslims have honor and respect. And the Muslim land like this, you show them who is in charge like this. Okay, you can't do that here. We don't have it. We're the ones who are on the underhand in this society. And even in the Muslim lands, Allahu al-musta'an. The way to remove that humiliation is by following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is by worshipping Allah azza wa jalla with sincerity and establishing the shahada properly and preferring the love of Allah over the love of the soul and the love of the dunya and preferring the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam likewise. But this is an important point here, and to know the difference between mudarat and mudahana. So we don't compromise in our deen. And to be kind or nice to somebody is not compromising at all times. Sometimes you just give him a smile, you give him a nice word in order to be safe from him, and to keep your family safe from him, or to keep your deen safe from them. And the likes like this, to keep the da'wah safe in your society. For example, a lot of brothers, they live in places like that, the masajid are like that. So you have to move in this manner in order for the da'wah to spread, in order for you to establish your religion. And the likes like this, whenever you don't have authority, you don't have power, you're weak. One or two of you in the masjid, three or four of you in the masjid, the whole society is tablighi, for example. The whole society is upon this way or that way. Different sects and different groups like this. If you oppose them, then they're going to belittle you. They're going to overcome you. They'll spread lies about you in the community, and they'll warn people from you. And the likes like this has happened. And some of these things I mentioned to you from experience. So that's what happens if you don't understand these type of things. And mudarat is very important. Then on the outside of this issue, the ulama, they mention, sometimes they'll mention about, for example, in the biographies of some of the salaf, they will say from his good qualities, كَانَ حُسْنُ mudarat. They mention this about some of this is also a good manner to have with your brother. Courtesy. When you see him, you smile on his face. Even if you're mad, you're upset, something's wrong and the job didn't go right. But when you see your brother, you deal with him like that. You show him a good face. You show him, he'll never know that you're upset. He'll never know that you had a bad day. He'll never know that, you know, things aren't going good. When you see him, you smile. You talk, how you doing? Everything's good. Barakallah feek. Like this. And you talk to him in a good manner. This is also called mudarat. And whenever you show courtesy to your brother, whenever you meet him. And this is from the beautiful manners of a believer. And whenever you meet a believer, you know or you don't know. To the extent maybe you meet a believer, he thinks, how did this brother act like he know me? He says, I don't know, but you don't know him. You're just showing him the good manners and the qualities of a believer. You're showing him the good manners and the conduct of a person of the sunnah. You make him feel welcome. You make him feel happy when he sees you. And when you see him, he feels safe from you. You welcome him, he feels comfortable. Like this, this is from the good manners. Also, this is considered a type of mudarat. Yani being courtesy and kind, having courtesy and kindness and gentleness for your brother whenever you meet him. So there's a difference between the two. Everybody understand this? What are the two words? Al-mudahana. Al-mudarat or al-mudahana. Al-mudarat or al-mudahana. Naam. Ahsantum. Naam. Dal. مدارات نعم ومداهنة both of them is with دال نعم بارك الله فيكم. With regards to the evidence, likewise, the one who does this, he makes mudarat, but he doesn't make mudahana. He doesn't make mudahana. The one who makes mudahana, he gave the preference to the love of the people in the dunya over the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. He made mudahana, he compromised in his deen. So that means he's given preference. He earned the anger of Allah at the love of the people. Ayyadan billah. That's mudahana. That's the result of mudahana. That in order for the people to be happy at him, he had to do something to make Allah angry with him. You understand that? That's mudahana. As for mudarat, and then he would do whatever he can to make Allah happy, even if they get angry with him. He would try to make them happy the best that he can, but if he can't, you know, alhamdulillah. In any case, as long as Allah is pleased with me, then you know, it's okay for you to be mad at me or to be upset with me. As long as a person, he does the best that he can in order to present the issue in the best manner without transgressing the limits and the likes like this. So this is also understood in the proof here that the author, he mentioned. Who knows the proof? لَتَجِدُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ أَوْ إِخْوَانَهُمْ أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو أشيرتهم أولئك كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان وأيدهم بروح من وأيدهم بروح من. Ruh here means proof and evidence and iman, the light of faith and certainty. Allah aid those people who did this. They gave preference to Allah Azza wa Jal and the allegiance to Allah Azza wa Jal over their whole family. These are the closest of the people. How about the rest of the people? Over their father, over their children, sons, over their brothers, over their tribesmen and family members. And how about the rest of the people then? And these are the ones. كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. Allah has written faith in their heart. وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْ. And he aided them with the ruh. But here the point is here, what happens after that? وَيُدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِّنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. And Allah will admit them into paradises flowing with rivers flowing beneath them, abiding therein forever. Jannat. And Jannat is basatin. These are gardens. They're called gardens because there's trees and there's rivers and there's palaces. And under the palaces and under the trees, there are rivers flowing. And it's been mentioned in the hadith that these rivers, they don't have shores. They're flowing. How do they flow? These are from the rivers of the paradise. They're not dug in the ground like they are in the dunya. It's a different river. It's a different river. It's a different tree. It's a different fruit. It's a different pleasure. It's from the hereafter. Something that no eye has seen. And no ear has heard or even has been imagined by the heart of a person. So this is the reward for those people who gave preference to the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Who gave preference. They had the muwalat strong. Their allegiance for Allah and His Messenger is strong and proper. This is their reward. This is their reward. But then the best part here. Radiyallahu anhu. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُمْ. And Allah is pleased with them. And Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. Ibn Kathir, he mentioned about this. He said, فِيهِ سِرٌ بَدِيعٌ. And in this statement here, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُمْ. سِرٌ بَدِيعٌ. An amazing secret. And a secret. Sometimes the Sharia, there's the asrar, secrets. It's not secrets like it's hidden, but they're like some, they're things that are unaware to the people unless they ponder over them. And the ulama, they abstract them. And their wisdoms and benefits that are in the legislation that are not apparent to everybody. But the ulama, they extract them. They call them hikam. And sometimes they call them secrets, asrar. Asrar al-sharia. But what they mean by that is wisdom, subtle wisdoms. And this verse here, or in that statement right there, there's this issue here. He said, وَهُوَ أَنَّهُمْ لَمَّا أَسْخَطُوا الْقَرَائِبُ وَالْأَشَائِرُ فِي اللَّهِ عَوَّضُهُمَ اللَّهُ بِالرِّضَى عَنْهُ وَأَرْضَاهُمْ عَنْهُ. In this amazing wisdom in this issue here, or in this part of the verse, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ, that they, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. Ibn Kathir, he said, because they made the people mad. They made their relatives mad, and they made their tribesmen, their family members upset with them for the sake of Allah. And their family members got upset with them because they wouldn't follow their way. And they followed the way of the Prophet ﷺ. They followed the commandment of Allah. Sometimes in order to follow the commandment of Allah, the people might get mad at you. Because the people, they want you to do something else, and Allah has commanded something else. The people, they want the mothers and the fathers and the children, they want something from you. And sometimes Allah Azza wa Jalla, He commanded the opposite of that. The one who has chosen the commandment of Allah Azza wa Jalla, sometimes it may make them angry with you. Sometimes it may make them angry with the person. They might not like it. They might get upset. Why you don't come to our gathering? Why did he doesn't come to the party? Why doesn't he, even from the people of innovation likewise, why doesn't he associate with? Why doesn't he come around whenever we have a wadima? Why doesn't he accept our invitation? Because there's evils going on there. And he preferred the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla over the pleasure of the people. So because of this, Allah Azza wa Jalla, awwalahum Allahum bi radha anhu. Allah exchanged them. Exchange for him, his love. So in exchange here, in exchange for the anger of the people, you get the love of Allah. In exchange for the anger of a people, what a great exchange. You get the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But on the other hand, those who take that foul exchange, they exchange and trade the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla for the love of the people, earning them the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a great benefit. And then also Allah Azza wa Jalla has made them please with Him. And this is from the greatest bounties and blessings in the paradise that Allah will reveal, that He would allow His pleasure to descend upon them. And He will say, today I will shroud you with my pleasure and I will never be angry with you again. أَلْيَمُ أُحِلُّ عَلَيْكُمْ رِضْوَانِي وَلَا أَسْخَطُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَبَدًا. And then after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will reveal Himself to the people that He's pleased with. And they will see Him. They will see Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is for those people who love Allah. What a great reward. Those people who love Allah with their tongue and with their heart, with their hands, with their eyes. That's their radiyallahu anhum radu an. Also here in the wording of Ibn Kathir, what did he say? Awwalahum Allahu bi ridahu. There's a hadith about that, with that word in it. Awwala. Awwala yu'awwidu. Awwid. Ta'wilan, huh? Man taraka shay'an lillahi awwadahu khayran min. Or kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever leaves something for the sake of Allah, he will replace it with something better. He will replace it with something better. Somebody, he has sins he's tried with, leave it for the sake of Allah. Allah will give you something better. The people want you to do something, you don't do it, you leave it for the sake of Allah, and you follow the commandments of Allah, He'll give you something better. And what in this case here? The pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. The pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is a great benefit for that allegiance. The one who has allegiance with Allah Azza wa Jal and is steadfast upon that, he has the pleasure of Allah. Allah is pleased with him. Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with him. It's been narrated that Aisha radiallahu anha, she wrote a letter to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. It's been authenticated by Shaykh Albani. Yani from her words and also from the Prophet's words, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it's been mentioned, man arada Allah bi sakhat an-nas radiallahu anhu wa arada anhu an-nas. That whoever makes Allah pleased by making the people angry, then Allah will be pleased with him and he'll make the people pleased with him. This is the issue of yaqeen. This is the issue of yaqeen, a certainty. Whenever a person has certainty and no doubt in the rububiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the qudra and the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal, the power that he has, the power to do all things, and that he has decreed all things, and that nothing happens except for with his decree alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's certain in that, then he will not prefer the pleasure of the people over the pleasure of Allah. Some people, why do they want to make why do they sacrifice their deen? Why do they compromise their deen? Thinking that the people will be happy with them. But what will happen in return? Allah Azza wa Jalla, He will make the people angry with him. That's what the rest of the narration is. وَمَنْ أَرْضَ النَّاسِ بِسَخَطِ اللَّهِ عَادَ حَمِدُهُ مِنَ النَّاسِ ذَمًّا. And the one who made the people happy or sought the pleasure of the people at the anger of Allah, then those who used to praise them, they will start blaming him. They will start blaming him. So maybe they praise him in the beginning, but in the end, they were those same people, they will start finding fault with him and blaming him. That's the one who sought the pleasure of the people at the anger of Allah. But the one who has a certainty in the meeting of Allah, in the power of Allah, in the decree of Allah, he will just prefer only what Allah has decreed. And he knows that the hearts of the servants are in the hands of Allah. And that whether the people are happy or are mad at him, that's in the hands of Allah. And he is not held accountable for making the people happy. Rather, he's accountable for making Allah happy. This is what he's held accountable for. This is what he will be asked about. He's not going to be asked about, you made so-and-so mad, you made so-and-so mad. You're going to be asked about how making Allah, what did you do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the goal of a believer. the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the one who seeks the pleasure of the people at the anger of Allah, he has a deficiency in his certainty. If he had certainty that this was in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal, and what is incumbent upon him is to make Allah pleased, and in that manner Allah will make the people pleased with him. Even in the beginning, maybe they're angry, but in the end they'll be praising him. In the end, they will be praising him. This is the promise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Whenever they made their fathers mad and they didn't comply to the commandments of their fathers in the opposition to the commandment of Allah, or their sons or their brothers or their relatives or anybody else, what is the return for that? Huh? Al jaza'u min jinsil amal. And in return for that, Allah said radiyallahu anhum. Allah is pleased with them. Allah is pleased with them. So then a believer, his eyes is to please. His goal that he hopes for is the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is by complying to his commandments, staying away from his prohibitions, hoping for his reward, hoping for his pleasure, hoping for his mercy, fearing his punishment, fearing his fire, fearing his anger, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this manner, a believer, he can be from the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يحزنون الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون وكانوا يتقون. They're pious and righteous people. They believe and they're righteous. That's the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal. There was one more issue with regards to the muwalat. We've been discussing it, and it was from the min mazahir muwalat al-kufar, from the signs that indicate that one has a love or an allegiance for the disbelievers. And from the most clear and the ones that we are most tried with today, especially in the society, is tashabbuh bihim. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in the hadith of Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma, man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum. So this is a dangerous situation. Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum. That whoever imitates the people, he's from them. Whoever imitates the people, then he's from them. But there's also ahkam with regards to this, waqiyud and duwabit. It's not just in an absolute sense, we understand it how we like. Rather, the ulama, they mentioned that tashabbuh bil kufar will be in certain areas. Yani with regards to customs and clothing and the everyday affairs, it's restricted to that which is specific to them alone. Because there are some things in customs and clothing and customs of the people that is shared between Muslim and non-Muslim. So some, you know, Muslims today wear pants or slacks, and so do non-Muslims. So we wouldn't say everybody who's wearing slacks is imitating the kufar, or everybody who's wearing a button shirt is imitating the kufar. That's not correct, because this is something in our days now. And all throughout the lands, it's become to this manner that even the Muslims and the non-Muslims, they all wear this garment, this type of garment. And but there are some type of garments that's specific to the kuffar, some type of dress or clothing that's specific and known by them. They're known by way of that. This is the one that's considered imitating them. This is the one that's considered imitating them. As for wearing what everybody wears that's shared like this, and a person, he can wear pants, but with the ruling of Islam, that they are not below the ankle. They're not below the ankle. They can go to the bottom of the ankle, or they can't go below the ankle. And to be safe is better. But at very least, they cannot go below the ankle. And likewise, I remember Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, he mentioned many times, Hafidhullah, that there's narrations that have come that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his garment sometimes would be up to the middle of his shin, and or it would be mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say to the middle of the shin, and another narration not below the ankles. So Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, he mentioned that this is the limits here, that the garment shouldn't go above the middle of the shin, nor should it go below the ankle. And the garment shouldn't go. Some people, they raise their thobe all the way up to their knee, for example. That's not correct. That's not from the sunnah. Now, these narrations here, they define the limit of the lower garment. It shouldn't go above the middle of the shin, nor below the ankle. Inside there, it's all good. Inside there, it's all permissible. It's all permissible. Now, so this is something with regards to that. Imitating the kuffar in this is according to what is specific to them. And then also the pants, they can't be tight. Likewise, a person can wear a shirt, but he shouldn't wear a shirt with that is displaying an allegiance to them or anything that's specific to them. As I mentioned before, like ball teams or organizations or these things specific to them. That's theirs. We don't display that. Even some people, they mentioned that people have turned into billboards. Billboards representing stuff. Sheikh Fawzan, he mentioned that it's not permissible to wear these type of clothing in the masjid because it's an advertisement. On the front of the shirt, it has a big advertisement for a logo of a company, big and bright on the front and back like this. This is an advertisement for the job, advertisement for the company. Like this, Sheikh Fawzan, he mentioned that you shouldn't wear that, hafizahullah, in the masjid because there's no advertising for business in the masjid. In the masjid. Also, I mentioned before about having names of disbelievers. Like for example, when I'm talking about that, I was referring to basketball teams, baseball teams like this. But the ulama, they make a difference likewise between because some clothing, the clothing brand is a name of a disbeliever. For example, Calvin Klein. Or for example, Hilfiger. Or for example, other names that are names of people, but it's a name brand. So the ulama, they make a difference between trademarks. And somebody, for it's a trademark. The clothing is a trademark. So he buys a particular clothing because of its quality. And then it has its trademark. And then this is, inshallah, permissible. But as my advice, I wouldn't put the one that has it all over, the big giant one on the front like that. Maybe if it's on the sleeve, small, or in the tag in the back, alhamdulillah. Yani, but then you have to just fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Prefer what Allah prefers. And you have wara. Leave off things that are doubtful. Leave off things that are doubtful. Somebody asked a question or commented, mentioned about jackets, for example, that have ball teams or whatever the case. Some Muslims wear them because they're poor. Okay, this is not issue about it. In these classes here, we're not talking about detail. We're talking about usul. This is the foundation, the origin. You can't do it. Even you can't eat pork, but if somebody's dying, then he can eat pork. So we're not going to go into the what if cases. What if he's poor? He doesn't have anything else to wear. Of course, he wears whatever will cover his awrah. Of course, he'll wear whatever covers his awrah. He's freezing outside. There's nothing else to wear except for Dallas Cowboys jacket. He put the jacket on and cover himself, yani, subhanAllah. But that's the exception. That's an exception. That's an exception. I wouldn't go think like that. There's always exceptions to the rules. We want to learn the usul. We learn the foundation after that. Then that to learn the exceptions is easy. To learn the exceptions is easy.
What are some clothing specific to the Muslims that you should be wearing besides necktie, right?
Necktie is definitely the ulama, they mentioned it has origins in Christianity. That the origin of the necktie was that they used to wear a cross on their chest. That was the Mujahidun and the Crusaders. From the Christians, they put a cross on their chest, and then eventually it became into the necktie, and that was that. I recall that some of the ulama, they mentioned, like for example, jeans, not pants, but jeans. Jeans was something specific to them, and then some of the ulama, they made an exception for work. If it was working, they needed it for work because they're hard and strong. But like these blue jeans was something that was specific to them, and. Wallahu alam, maybe we can research. And I heard that was something from Sheikh Uthaymeen, but I haven't read it myself. And if anybody knows, they can inform me. But wallahu alam, what I believe, the hat with a bill on it. And I know before I was a Muslim that this was something that was very necessary. That you don't go out of the house without that ball hat with the bill on it. The ball hat with the bill on it. This is something, if somebody sat on it, they throw it away, you get a new one. You put it in the back seat, somebody sat on it, or they crushed it, or he put it on his head and he changed the form of it, or he goes like this and bend it, it's over. You get a new one. They they really like this thing. And that's from the, and plus the Muslims, they don't have that. The Muslims were taqiya. But Allah knows best. I would stay away from that, but I would prefer that somebody find the fatwa. I heard it was from Sheikh Uthaymeen. I haven't read it myself. Maybe somebody can help us out with that to see so that we know for sure. But Allah knows best. That's something from their way. Likewise. Tight clothing. That's haram anyways. But then it could be two ways. For example, maybe it's haram because of it's tight clothing, and then it's haram also because why does he wear it? To imitate the kufar. To imitate the kufar. You'll find him, he has his pants tight. How does he get in them? SubhanAllah. And then on top of that, he wears a short shirt. And this person right here, he really needs to be warned. Because this person here, when he comes to Salat, he does two bad things. And I heard Shaykh Abu Musan, he mentioned that too. Yusi'u isa'atayn. He has two isa'ah. And he does two bad things. One to himself and one to the person praying behind him. One to himself and one to his person praying behind him. The first one to himself is what? He uncovers himself. He uncovers himself because he wears these tight pants and they don't come all the way up. Then he wears a short shirt and then he bends over and then he makes sujood and then Allahu musta'an. Allahu musta'an. Then on top of that, he's making isa'ah to his own self, exposing his own self. Even in America, they say that the old people, they used to say that the person who is not doing something wrong, he's saying he's showing that. That part, and he's exposed. They talk like this person is, Allahu musta'an. That's a blame. That's them. That's not good. Especially as a Muslim, especially in salat, he's going to do this, and this becomes exposed. This could invalidate his salat. And then what about the brother behind him? Yeah, subhanallah. The brother behind him, he has to see this. He come to pray. He come to remember Allah Azza wa Jalla, and you put this right there. Alhamdulillah. What is this? Well, all because you want to be like the kuffar, wear the little bit short shirt and then the really tight pants, and then Allahu musta'an. This is also not permissible from both aspects. From what two aspects? Imitating the kuffar. From the awrah. The awrah. The pants can't be tight. They have to be loose. So also from exposing the awrah, sometimes we think maybe exposing the awrah like the skin is shown. Right? Also, the ulama, they mentioned from the aspect of exposing the awrah that if you can see the body part, you can see the shape of the body. So his pants are so tight, you can see, you know how big his leg is. It's right there. You can see that everything is, it's like his awrah is exposed still, even though he has clothing on. And even the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Rubba ariyatin kasit, or Rubba kasitin ariyatin. Kasit fi duna ariyatin fi akhirah. Maybe some woman will be clothed, but she will be naked in the hereafter, no clothing, because she's wearing clothing, but she's not wearing clothing, and because it's so tight, and because it's so foul like this. That's all from imitating the kuffar.
So the jinns, if you're wearing a thobe over it, still not.
Ladri, I don't know. As I mentioned, I don't know. Ladri, la adri. Zakhal akhir. We look, inshallah.
It's very common in America.
That's what we're talking about.
It's common overseas too. All the Muslims everywhere now wear jeans and
slacks. Slacks is not the issue. The issue is jeans. That's what I remember reading. It was a while back. Inshallah, but we can see it. That's not a fatwa. That's not a ruling. That's not. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Right now, muraja. هذا مراجع بيننا نحن. We look, inshallah. نتأكد من هذا الأمر. We will make sure before we say you can. It is. It isn't. That's what I said. It's a difference. Somebody says, well, what I remember is this. When somebody says, it's like that. Allah said this. The Messenger said this. Shaykh Uthaymeen said that. يعني فهمتوا. تفضل.
Okay. How about the kids imitating them with their haircut?
All of that is haram. Naam, all of that is haram. Hadith also of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhum. And the Nabi says, Ra'a sabiyan qad hulliqa ba'du ra'sihi wa turika ba'duhu. Faqala la taf'alu. Ihlikuhu kulluhu wa turkuhu kulluhu. The Prophet says, he's seen a man, a baby, his half his hair is cut, the other half is left. He said, don't do that. Cut it all or leave it all. Naam, but even worse than that, on top of that, it's not permissible. But then the reason why they do it is to imitate the kuffar. Right. But I'm going to say something. If you leave them with the kuffar, who do you think they're going to imitate? If you leave them with the kuffar, and all day, 6 hours a day, 7 hours, 8 hours a day, he ride in the bus with them, he sit next to them, he go to school with them, he sit next to them, he learn from him, they teach him everything, he eats lunch with him, he comes home. What do you think he's going to do? What do you think he's going to do? The society and misguidance is very strong. It pulls an individual. The dunya is a temptation, it pulls you. In this society, it will strip shyness from someone. It will strip their love of Allah from them. If a person is not careful, how about somebody who is going through emotional, going through puberty? The hardest time. He doesn't know who he is, doesn't know what he's going to do. Then his body is changing, he knows friends, he's happy, he's sad. All this going on, and then at the same time, nobody else is got a thoban, nobody else has his pants above his ankle, nobody else has a beard, nobody else. And then you come home, why do you imitate the kuffar? So why do you send him there? But it's in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Somebody could go there and maybe he come out the most righteous person. But we have to take responsibility. I think it's time for Adhan. One thing is for sure, that the stronger one has an allegiance for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his heart and his deen and his compliance to the commandments and staying away from the prohibitions, the stranger he will be. This is the promise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is how Islam began. It began strange. Why is it strange? Because everybody else, they believed different. They were mushrikun. They had many gods. Got one God. There's only one object of worship. They were strange from their creed, and then in their acts of worship, they were strange compared to the rest of the people. And then and their manners and their conduct, they're strange compared to the rest of the people. And then, but after that, Islam became strong because they believed and they had allegiance to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah azza wa jalla makkanahum fil ardh. Allah gave them authority. Allah gave them power and strength and gave them victory over their enemies because of their allegiance, because of their love for Allah and la ilaha illallah, because of their love for the Messenger of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and their compliance and their submission. Allah gave them victory. Allah gave them victory. And they were like that, brothers working together hand in hand, hand in hand, hand in hand, throughout the lands all the way until the fitna came. The dunya opened up for them. And the shubuhat came in, and the dunya came in. And then the people were tried by shubuhat and by shahawat. So the people who left the straight path, they left from shubuhat. And others left the straight path from the shahawat. And there's been fitna like that ever since. The fitna like that ever since. The people going away like this from shubuhat. The shubuhat of who came? First shubha. Huh? Lack of knowledge. But the first shubha, the khawarij. And then the rafidah, the qadariyah, and mu'tazila. And these are the shubuhat that came. لما وقعت الفتنة قالوا سموا لكم سموا رجالكم. The fitna came, the fitna of the people dividing because of the khawarij, because of their misguided ideology, because of their misguided creed. And then also they divided with the Rafidah, the misguided creed. Also they divided from the Qadariyah. The 70 sects that the Prophet ﷺ warned them about started appearing. And then also people came overwhelmed with the dunya. And then they want the dunya. And some of them are going for the dunya, this and taking the dunya here. And they become overwhelmed and sins. And then like this, the ummah is divided until we see today. That many of the people now, Islam, what happened? Was Sayyudu kama bada'a, Sayyudu ghariba kama bada'a. Now it's strange again. Why? Because even amongst the Muslims, because the majority of them are engulfed in shubuhat, misguided ideologies, misguided deviant sects, misguided ways, no knowledge, no understanding of the sunnah. The person who followed the sunnah, he's strange. The one who calls to the sunnah is even stranger. The one who is steadfast, leaving off sins and lowering his gaze, he's strange. And the one who calls others to lower their gaze, he's even strange. What's wrong with this guy? What's wrong with this guy? They start blaming him. Is he like that? You don't look at women? No, subhanAllah. No, we look at the ones that Allah allowed us to look for. But they become strange. That's what happened. And a person has to hold fast. The stronger he holds fast, the more his allegiance is for Allah and His Messenger, this issue of muwalat, which is the foundation of the deen, this is going to cause him to be, to be strange. This is going to cause him to be a stranger. The one who is not strange is the one he has given up some of that allegiance to Allah, and he has fallen into their ways and the ways of the other people. Now he blend in with them. Now, so the strangers are the ones that have allegiance for Allah and His Messenger. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wasallam.